Ryan in Aberdeen. He wants to borrow you. He's not happy with Dusty, I guess. So South Dakota's lone representative. You have Julie Fedorchuk on the line. Ryan, what's your question?
Well, this is actually a question that I'm kind of itching to ask Dusty Johnson as well. But as long as I have your ear, Julie, I'm curious as to if you have your finger on the pulse of how things are going in the House. Do you have a sense of the likelihood that your House of Congress may indeed help Trump in his quest to dismantle the Department of Education?
I think the House is very ready to support President Trump in this initiative and all of his efforts to return more power to the people, to the states, to make government more responsive, more accountable, a better steward of taxpayer dollars. And so, yes, I do believe, and I like the way Trump set this up. He has assigned his cabinet member, Linda McMahon, to look at the agency, develop a plan for reducing its size and scope and returning as much power back to the parents and the states where it belongs, especially as it relates to education, and then making recommendations to Congress where things need to change. So, yeah, absolutely. I think the Republican House is excited about that. It's something that people have talked about since Ronald Reagan was president. It just doesn't really make sense to collect money from taxpayers, have the federal bureaucrats take a chunk of it, and then send it back to the states with strings attached. Let's just take out the middleman, the bureaucrats, and put more power in the hands of the parents and the states where it belongs, especially as it relates to education. So I think we're excited about it.
Appreciate the call, Ryan. And just to be clear, to end the Department of Education as we know it will require congressional action, right? I mean, in other words, he can move different functions to different places, and I like what he's done, like in the special needs, over at HHS. Student loans, let's go over to the SBA. But to actually end it, it takes an act of Congress, doesn't it?
It does.
But if you downsized it to a couple of floors at an office building in Kansas City, I mean, you know, it'd still have it. But, maybe there's an idea.
Why not? But then the next president could just ramp it back up. I mean, I think it's better to just have Congress get this in law, like much of this stuff, right?
Yeah, most importantly, what President Trump has done with his, you know, bold leadership is start the process, made it clear that the goal is to return power to the parents and to the people in the states, reduce the size as much as possible, and we can have the conversation in Congress about what makes the most sense, you know, to eliminate it or where the key programs go that are essential to maintain and how to best do that. So I think it's going in the right direction.
Thank you for the call, Ryan. Tom is next in Hankinson. You're up on What's on Your Mind. Go ahead for Congresswoman Julie Fedorchuk.
Yeah, I was just going to make a comment. You were looking for a word to describe the people who are doing these protests and the vandalism and terrorism. I think the word infantile or childish would apply. They act like a bunch of toddlers or babies who aren't getting their way.
Yeah, interesting. I've been struggling with this, Julie, on the air. What Tom's referring to is just talking about this mob mentality. And I see a strain of evil there. I see a strain of, I've used the word stupid because I just don't.
Ignorance.
If you go out and actually interview them, it's clear that they have no concept of sort of anything's related to reality. And again, there's GPS technology out there that tells you the people that are going to these are also going to, you know, like dozens of Kamala Harris rallies, Antifa, BLM, pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian protests. These are the people that are going to the Tesla dealerships and burning them down. I don't know what to call them. I think Tom's got a good suggestion. What do you call them? What is this?
Well, I just think it's really unproductive, and they obviously didn't learn any lessons from the last election. What they're standing for is not what the people said they wanted in the last election, and it was a pretty decisive election. I have heard it all over the state of North Dakota, too, even from folks who stand to have to, you know, have to change their ways a little bit or be impacted by some of the policies, particularly we'll talk about tariffs. Even farmers have been pretty strong in my conversations, and I've talked to many of them, that they get it. They get what President Trump is trying to accomplish here, and they want to, you know, support him as much as they can and hope that most Americans are looking at the long term, because that we have got to change course in our country. And President Trump is leading the way.
I see you're doing a teletown hall tomorrow night. So there's another way for people to interact with you. Is this, what are you hearing from Capitol Police, who get up every day to protect members of Congress, related to, some of the, it's paid protesters. It's people that obviously, you know, all come in wearing the same shirt with a script and, you know, the same signs and all this stuff. They obviously don't want to just talk to their member of Congress. They want to shout and holler and everything else. But is there a security risk here that you're hearing about as well?
Well, anytime you start, you know, ratcheting up the discourse and name calling and calls for, you know, what's happening with Tesla and people, you know, there's just a lot. It's getting more violent. And so, yeah, it's concerning. We don't need to have any real big disasters at one of these town halls. Everybody, you know, we can disagree in this country. We can disagree, and we can do so in a way that doesn't have to threaten others or get out of hand. We should be able to have good conversations. We long had decided, long before all this, we had decided to do the teletown halls because in North Dakota, it's just a really convenient way for folks from all over the state to be able to participate. And, I know there's concern about, oh, you're going to filter out all the hard questions. Absolutely not. I want to talk to folks about what's on their mind. I want to take the tough questions and show people where I'm at, and so people can understand I'm their representative. So we're excited about doing it that way, and we'll do it, you know, repeatedly. And it's just an ongoing conversation that I'm having with constituents. I've been all over the state just this last week and talked to, you know, hundreds of North Dakotans. And I've done that, you know, every extended state work period we've had. That was the third one. I've been all over the state. It's almost like a continuous town hall of conversations with North Dakotans. I have them out in D.C. too. Hundreds of North Dakotans have come through my office already. I just met with a handful this morning, constantly talking to the people this state, the industry groups, different organizations, to make sure I understand where people are and how the things that we're working on stand to affect them.
Congresswoman Julie Fedorchuk with us till the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment, 701-271-1100. You can also text 701-237-1590. By the way, this teletown hall will be tomorrow at 6:30 Central. And if you go to the website, fedorchuk.house.gov, you need to sign up to participate in that by 5 o'clock today. And if you just want to listen in and take it in, you can do that on the website, but also on the Facebook page as well. So lots of ways to play in. But X and Facebook and all the different accounts have updates on all this and links to get you to the right spot. So won't be hard for you to find a spot at all. So do that. And Paul in Lake Park has a question for Julie Fedorchuk next. Hey, Paul, go ahead.
It's not a question. I'm just commenting on the fact that these protesters are, this is all organized. And I know that all the Democrats like Obama and his ilk, they're all sitting back in their chairs smiling because this all started with Obama dividing the country and against law enforcement. It's the colleges and universities that are teaching socialism over capitalism. They're happy with what's going on. And George Soros is paying these people. His own country doesn't want him back.
And by the way, we've seen this before. We saw it with Dapple. They just got busted in court doing this. Greenpeace. You couldn't be more right, Paul. Appreciate the call. We have covered the gamut on the program today, and we're down to our last segment on the show. Congresswoman Julie Fedorchuk with us, brought to you today by our friends at PetroServe USA, home cooking and grab-and-go convenience. Chicken fried steak. That looks good. They have that at MP Avenue, downtown Fargo today. Country Fried Steak, West Main Avenue, West Fargo, and also 12th and I-29. Lasagna today in Wahpeton and Harwood. Bacon Cheeseburger Hot Dish, Yulin and Glendon, as well as Taco Hot Dish, West Main Avenue, West Fargo, along with the Country Fried Steak. So Salisbury Steak in Valley City, Ada, Castleton today. Petroserve USA Home Cook and Grab and Go Convenience.
Is there a difference between chicken fried steak and country fried steak? I always thought it was the same.
No, I think Maybe country fried is beef, and I think chicken is chicken, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah.
I'm no chef, but that's what I surmise here. I just know it's good cooking. Also powered by our friends at Pucklage, North Dakota's home for Chevy. Get me around that beautiful 2023. They're talking about ordering in a 25 for me. That's going to be hard to give up the 23. As long as it's diesel, I get the great gas mileage. That Turbo Max diesel is the best. A Silverado, not a Silverado. That's the Chevy side. It's a Sierra, actually. But the Chevys, the GMC products, the safety features in the 25s are hard not to love. More of our chat now with Congresswoman Julie Fedorchuk. See, the bison are coming to the White House on the 9th of April. That's going to be fun, huh?
Very fun. Excited about that. Yeah, I've got the bison helmet in my front office now with their national championships. And, yeah, pretty exciting times. They have a great program, and it's fun to see them be honored in the White House like this.
We're excited.
Trump loves excellence.
Yes, he does. He loves winning. He loves excellence. So we actually will have an interview with President Trump at that event. So we're excited about that. An exclusive for us here on What's on Your Mind. So do in proper honor for that national championship team. So kind of fun. So where are the leaders of the Democratic Party? Why isn't Hakeem Jeffries the Democratic leader? Why isn't Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Bill Clinton, saying this is wrong? Again, the silence to me means they're complicit in this. You know, I'm talking about domestic terrorism now. I'm talking about death threats, the kind of folks that are going to pro-Hamas events and Antifa and BLM and pro-Palestine protests. Why do you think the Democratic leaders are tolerating this?
They have lost their way. They've just lost their way. I don't know. They don't know what they stand for anymore. And this has been what they've stood for, quite honestly. So I think that there's some, more reasonable folks in Congress that are pretty frustrated with it and kind of confused by where they should be and how they can kind of make a productive pathway forward. I can't speak to where they are or why they aren't speaking up, but it's pretty discouraging because it's getting out of hand. And it is counter to, a good democratic process to have all of these, pretty significant protests. I've had colleagues in new freshman colleagues who have done town halls in their districts, and they couldn't even get a word in to explain because they were, asked a question and then just booed and jeered and shouting. And quite honestly, one of them said, all I pretty much could do was sit there politely and listen to them scream and yell. So yeah, pretty unproductive, not a good part of the democratic process that they seem to be so much supporting, right?
A couple of comments here. One, it says, Julie, your dad, Dwayne, rescued me on I-29 after my car stalled, late 70s or early 80s. I was a college student, a girl at UND, a great man. He got me on my way again. So there's a nice little memory for you.
Oh, that's fun to think about my dear dad. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that story. He was a gentleman and an awesome conservative. Diehard conservative. He would be loving what's going on right now.
And a good public servant, like his daughter, serving the taxpayers. I love it. Another listener said, I have tried several times to contact you through your office and have gotten no reply. We need to find better candidates. This one is a puppet at best. How do people contact you? What's the best way for people to contact you? How do they go through? I know enough members of Congress that the last thing you do is not respond to people because that's called constituent service. So I don't know what the issue is here, but what's the best way for folks to?
Yeah, absolutely. They should call my office in D.C. and say you want to talk to me or give your issue. And we should be able to get back to you soon. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on there. But we've gotten lots and lots of calls and have responded to thousands of inquiries. So my apologies if you're not getting a response, but try us again and we'll do better.
And if you call from a 701 number, you get priority, which all these members of Congress are getting
Absolutely.
Calls from all over the place. Only about a half a minute left. Tell me quickly about your interaction with farmers and ranchers out there. I know you're at the dairy farm up in Carrington. You talk to corn growers. What are they saying?
Well, they're excited for a farm bill. They are eager for a farm bill, and we're going to be working hard to get that done. I have been pressing the importance of that with our Ag Committee in the House, with the Trump administration, to encourage that as well. And it's going to help mitigate any short-term challenges of tariffs. So I think we need to get hard to work at that.
I've been impressed, too, with the vast majority of farmers and ranchers who see a national security element to this tariff conversation and have patience despite disruption. That's all but promise. Been interesting to see them. Thanks, Julie. Appreciate the time. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Scott.